Now, our reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, and we're turning to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, we'll read these first 13 verses together. Genesis 16 and verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly or severely with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. But he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? We'll end the reading there at the end of verse 13. Let's bow just together for a moment in prayer. Last Sunday morning, we started a little series for the summer, which I've entitled Individuals Who Inspire Us in the Scriptures. As we read through God's Word, we often rub shoulders with those that are great men and women of God, in our own estimation at least. Sometimes we don't see their faults and failures because we tend to dwell on all those great things that mark their lives. They're great in stature. We admire them for that. They're great in strength. We wonder if they were even human at all. We see them great in spirit and how they persevered when it seemed that everything was lost. We see those who were great in service, and there are times when we honestly wish that we were more like them. Well, we began that little series by looking at Nehemiah, the man with a real vision for God's work. Remember the challenge he faced. He heard about a distressed people in great affliction. He heard of a desecrated city, for the wall of the city had been broken down, the gates burned with fire. And when he received this report, Nehemiah, his heart was broken. And it showed itself in the way he was concerned. And even though the work would be difficult and the task would be great, he sought the help of God and the counsel of God, and with the cooperation of others, he went forth to see the work done. And it was done, it was accomplished, finished in good time. And all of it done for God's glory, because the people had a heart to do it together. But sometimes life is not all about triumphs, is it? There are times, yes, when like Nehemiah, we can sit back and look over perhaps years or even months or recent weeks and see something that has been accomplished in our lives, and we pause for a moment or two and we thank God for that triumph or for the blessings of all that we've been engaged in. But life is not always like that. Along with all the blessings, there are battles. Along with all the triumphs that come our way, there are also trials that we all have to overcome. And so this morning, I want to turn your thoughts here to these verses I've read in Genesis 16. And I want you to look at Hagar, a woman in the midst of a crisis. Beloved, I'm absolutely convinced today that many of us have been in our lives at various times in the midst of a crisis. At a time when we really didn't know which way to turn. Times when we didn't know who we could really depend on. Times when we didn't feel as if we perhaps could trust anyone. And we wondered how on earth we were ever going to cope with those particular circumstances. Some of them, unfortunately, have probably been of our own making. Because we stepped out of the will of the Lord, or perhaps we turned our backs on the word of God and became disobedient. And sometimes God had to bring us back to the place where we should have been. And we have said often, we will never make those same mistakes again, because there were some hard lessons along the way. Some of them, however, have been brought about through no fault of our own. And yet again, in the midst of those crises, we learn some very important lessons on our journey through life. Not just lessons about ourselves and our own makeup and the weakness of our own faith. But sometimes we have learned tremendous lessons about God that have helped us to hold on to Him when the day has been difficult and when the night has been long and dreary. Life at times can be difficult and discouraging. Our lives can be turned upside down without even a warning. And we need to know how to cope in the midst of those crises. So I hope that what we think about with Hagar here will learn, help us to learn something that would encourage us. Because Hagar's story is a very moving story. It seems as if it's filled with injustice and despair. And yet it shows the tender, compassionate care of God, not just for Hagar, but for all of those who are hurting deeply today, whatever the circumstances they find themselves in. Hagar was just a simple servant girl. It's quite possible that she had been stolen in Egypt. She was traveling with Abraham and Sarah, made one of Sarah's attendants. It seems she was a good servant, for she held a high place in Sarah's heart. And it would seem that her life was also influenced by godly Abraham, because she must have had some knowledge of God, because we read on two occasions that God came to her and God ministered to her in a very special and intimate way. But here in our reading, I want you to see the situation that Hagar finds herself in. If you had taken time, and I'd have read it to you in Genesis 15, you will note that there God makes a covenant with Abraham concerning the future of Israel as a nation. That covenant, of course, concerned a son, a seed, the land that God had given to him as an everlasting possession. But the problem was that Sarah had no children. And time was certainly not on her side, because she was by now an old woman. And when no son was born, Sarah became impatient and she failed to wait on God's timing. How often have we made great errors of judgment when we have failed to wait on God's timing? You see, folks, sometimes that's the most difficult thing of all. When you pray about something and you want the Lord to show you something, and the Lord seems to be silent, or in our opinion, the Lord seems to be slow, there is every danger that we take things to ourselves and upon ourselves, and we just do it because we feel this is the right way, and we live to regret it. And things might have been so much different had we have waited simply on the Lord to work out his own plan and his own purpose at that particular time. But Sarah knew that Abraham wanted a son. She knew that he wanted an heir more than anything else. And in her frustration, not being able to provide this son for him, she encourages Abraham to become involved with her maid Hagar, and this union led to a terrible situation. Well, I know it might have been the custom of the day for a man to have more than one wife. But that's not the way that God intended it. That's certainly not the way that God had decreed it. In God's eyes, the marriage bond is between a man and a woman. Any kind of activity outside of that marriage bond was a sin. And despite what society says today, it still is. God's word is clear about that. But this sin in the home of Abraham and Sarah had far-reaching effects, and I want to show you what they were through this woman, Hagar. I want you to note, first of all, the circumstances that engulfed her. Whenever Sarah became impatient and no son was born, she gave Hagar, her maid, to Abraham. She could never have imagined at that time the consequences of her action. Because soon after this union, Hagar became pregnant. The relationship between Sarah and Hagar was soured. And not only that, but Abraham, this godly man, was caught in the middle. What seemed to be a good idea at the time was certainly not a good idea now. There's family tension, there's breakdown in relationships, there's bitterness and envy, and the whole situation is just spiraling out of control. Now, there's no doubt that Hagar was responsible for some of this. But the greater sin was that of Abraham and Sarah. They should have known better. They'd forgotten about the promise of God, and instead of waiting on faith, which they should have done, and what God told them to do, they're now walking by sight. But look at this situation for a moment. When we pick up the story in Genesis 16, where is Hagar? Well, she's not in the safety of her tent, and she's certainly not in the company of the family who had embraced her. It seems that she's planning to return to her homeland again, but in reality she's on the run. And she's in the wilderness, and she cuts a very forlorn-looking figure. If you think I'm trying to maximize the situation, you just put yourself in her shoes for a moment. Here's a young woman who has been working to her lady Sarah as a maid. All of a sudden she's become pregnant by this woman's husband. She has now been put out of the camp and out of the family, if you like. She's on the run. She's a fugitive. She's pregnant with Abraham's child. She's nowhere to go. She's in distress. She's alone in the world in the midst of a crisis. And it seems as if nobody knew anything about her. It seems as if nobody cared what was going to happen to her. Well, you know, Hagar was wrong, because God knew all about her. God knew exactly where she was. God knew why she was there. God knew exactly what she was facing. God knew how she was feeling. And God, even there, was able to minister to her need. Beloved, we need to remember that. Especially when things in our lives are difficult. Especially when times are tough. Especially when it seems as if we've just been steamrollered and we're trying to get our breath and we're looking at our circumstances and they seem to be getting worse every single moment of every day. And for you and for me, there's no way out. Nobody sees. Nobody understands, and nobody cares. Remember, God sees. And remember that God understands, and remember, God cares. Maybe this morning you're at a low ebb. Your circumstances such you'd love to run away from them. Maybe in the midst of your own personal crisis, and the fact is you're really not coping. Oh yes, you're at church today and you've shook hands at the door and you'll nod and smile on your way out to whoever's on the door again, and you'll go home with a heart that's broken. And you're aching inside and you're facing your own personal crisis and you're just not coping. You're distressed. Perhaps hurting badly about a situation that hasn't been of your own making. Overwhelmed by all of these things, and there seems to be no way out. Let me speak to your heart for just a moment. Can I remind you that God knows all about you right now? He knows everything. Even those things that you haven't shared with anyone else, God already knows. And he not only knows where you are and how you are, he feels your pain. He understands better than anybody else everything that life has thrown at you at this time. And God is saying to you today, there's no need for you to travel this way alone. There is no need for you to carry this burden by yourself. For he says to you lovingly and tenderly, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Your reaction might be, listen, Pastor, if God cared about me, I wouldn't be here. If God really cared about me, I wouldn't be in the midst of those deep waters. If God really cared about me, he would have answered my prayers long time ago. But we're not finished yet. But I can assure you that God cares about you. And God is interested in you. And he's well able to help you bear that burden, because God understands you better than anyone else. In Hagar's shoes, you might not think that. But when you look at the circumstances that engulfed her, look at the conversation that enlightened her. God intervened in her situation. Look at what we read in verse 8 and 9. He said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where are you coming from? Where will you go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hands. I have often read that and thought about that. You know what it reminded me of? Having a group of friends. And you're out playing someday and you fall into a bed of nettles and you get up out of it and you're standing there and they say, oh, they're good for you. And they throw you back in again. She's on the run. She's left Sarah's home. That's what has caused her to be here. She's brokenhearted. She's down and out. And God ministers to her and he says, Hagar, return to your mistress, submit yourself under her hands. Why did God ask her where she had come from and where she was going to? It wasn't because he didn't know, because God knows everything. He wanted Hagar to realize she was not in the place that she should have been. Now to Hagar, such a suggestion must have seemed pointless. She wasn't only longer under the shelter of Abraham's roof. It seemed to her that going to Egypt was a far better option, getting away from all of this. She could find at least shelter there in a very difficult time. She is running away and God says, no, I want you to go back. And I want you to face up to the problem. And I want you to stop running. You know, beloved, there are times when it is necessary to get away from something. It's necessary to get away from someone. The Bible talks about, thou, O man of God, flee these things. There are times in the midst of temptation, like Joseph, we need to leave our coat and take to our heels and run. There's a time for that. It might mean breaking off a friendship if the friendship's taking us away from the Lord. It might mean breaking away from a circle of friends if that circle of friends is taking us back into the world and away from the Lord. There's a time when it's necessary to run. But there are times when for our own good and for our spiritual good, we need to make difficult decisions. Follow the leading of the Lord. And there are times when running is just not the answer. Got to face the problem head on. Got to seek to resolve it with the Lord's help and in the Lord's way. Do you remember the psalmist David, how on one occasion in Psalm 55, he's going through difficult circumstances too. He turns around and he speaks like this. He says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Oh, then would I wander afar off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." And like Hagar, David thought that the answer to the problem was running away. It wasn't. It never is. Sometimes when circumstances overwhelm us, we feel the best thing to do is to run and keep on running. But no matter how far you run, the problems will always be there. Might be a different place. Might be with different people, but the problems will always be there. What we need to do today is face them with the Lord's help and wait for the Lord's time to bring about change. Because, beloved, it's one thing being spiritual and speaking things like this. Well, our disappointments are often God's appointments. So they are. But if our disappointments are God's appointments for us, then we have to realize that these problems that we often fear, sometimes they're providentially sent so that God can deal with us and God can deal with areas of our lives and God can put those things right. He can prove himself to us in ways that we might not ever understand otherwise. Don't we sometimes sing the words, "Let the Lord have his way in your life every day"? There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has his way. Place your life in his hands and rest secure in his plans. Let the Lord have his way. And that's what Hagar needed to do. I read a lovely quote the other day from Charles Swindoll. He says this about the problems of life that we face. He says, "Every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day we encounter golden opportunities that are brilliantly disguised as insurmountable problems." You see, it depends on life, doesn't it? How you address things. You can either crumble and sit and be overwhelmed by everything that happens, or you can seek the help of God to soar like wings, like eagles, and look at those problems from a greater height and understand, difficult though it is, and I'm telling you, sometimes it's difficult, that all things work together for good to them that love God. The circumstances that engulfed her, the conversation that enlightened her, the compassion that encouraged her. You see, God didn't leave Hagar there, not in the wilderness, not in the midst of her distress, not in the midst of her crisis. God did not leave her there. He ministered to Hagar and he ministered to her so compassionately. Not only did he instruct her to return to Sarah, but look at the different ways in which he encouraged her. First of all, there was his promise. Verse 10 and 11. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And if Hagar would do as God said and return to the place where she ought to be, God would not only bless her, but God would make her a blessing to others. God was to give her a son called Ishmael. That name literally means God will hear. And even though she wouldn't bear the son through whom the promises of God would be fulfilled, she herself would be blessed and others would be blessed through her son. Beloved, when you and I are in the place where God wants us to be, even though times are difficult, even though our circumstances might be overwhelming us, God can still bless us there. And God often does bless us there, and he does it that we might be a blessing to others. How are you going to cope to someone who's a dear friend of yours and they're coming through a real tragedy? How will you cope with them if you yourself haven't at least gone through something like that? You say to me, but Pastor, I could have done without it. Yeah. But those who you'll minister to can't. That's why God sometimes brings us this way. Doesn't Paul speak about those things that he had to endure for the sake of the gospel? And he said that God in the midst of them comforted him. Why? That he might be a comfort to others. Hagar's life is in a mess. And God says, Hagar, you go back to the place where you ought to be, and I'll not only bless you, but I'll make you a blessing. There was his presence. Look at verse 13 and 14 very quickly. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beher Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. What wonderful words those are. What assurance they bring. Hagar's in the wilderness, and God saw her there. God saw her there. She wasn't out of his sight. Hagar was brokenhearted, but God saw her need, and he knew all about her pain, and God came right to where she was. And she felt all alone, almost forgotten, and she didn't realize that God was by her side. How often have you read those words in 2 Timothy? It's one of the believer's favorite books, 2 Timothy, where Paul expresses himself coming near the end of his life and journey. Did he get it tough? Of course he did. Oh, he's looking forward to heaven. The time of his departure has come. He's ready to go. But you know what he says as he reflects on some things? At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge. And then he says this, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. Just as God stood by Hagar, just as God stood by Paul, brother or sister in Christ today, God will stand by you too. I hate to say this, some of your friends won't. Because others might in your situation judge where you are and pass comment and criticism, and if it gets too hot to handle, they'll disappear. Friends have a habit of hanging friends out to dry because they don't want to be guilty by association. But I'm telling you today that God will not hang you out to dry. God will stand by your side, and God is on your side. You're not alone in the midst of the problems that you face. You don't need to battle it alone. You don't need to sit despondent as if nobody cares. For even if others let you down, God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There was his promise. There was his presence. There was his peace. Do you know when God administered to Hagar, she had a peace in the midst of her crisis. And in this tragic event, we see God overruling. Abraham and Sarah had lacked faith, made an error of judgment. Hagar had been cruelly treated, fled from her home. God found her in the depths of despair, ministered to her. And at God's bidding, she returned again to the place where she should have been, so that God could use her. Do you know what was for her a painful, bitter experience? It had all been transformed by a caring, compassionate God. Beloved, whatever your circumstances are in mine today, can I encourage you not to lose heart in the midst of your crisis? Abbott Pastor, I'm so far down today, I just honestly feel like throwing in the towel. You know, there are mornings I just can't get up, Pastor. There's days I don't want to face the world. There's days I wish I was at home. At home with those who have gone before because you miss them. At home with those who have gone before because you can't cope without them. Don't lose heart in the midst of your crisis. Don't give up because you feel nobody cares. Don't you feel that you're in this alone. For the hymn writer says, so while here, my cross I'm bearing, meeting storms and billows wild, Jesus for my soul is caring. Naught can harm his father's child. Hagar would have needed to have heard those words. Maybe you need to hear them afresh this morning. A woman in the midst of a crisis. Whatever yours is today and mine, learn to lean hard upon God, for he'll see you through. He's a sovereign God. He can bring good out of the most desperate and difficult situations that any one of us are ever going to have to face. But the problem is, we've got to keep trusting and let the Lord have his way. Now let's pray. Father, as we meet together this morning, we realize that there are many in our families and many in our communities, and maybe even some in this church family today, who are facing their own personal crisis. And we pray lovingly for them. We pray, Father, that you'll stand with them as you know, we know you will. We pray that you will minister to them, because no one can minister to them like you can. We pray, our Father, no matter how they feel or what they're facing, that they might know that the eternal God still is their refuge, and that underneath and round about them are your everlasting arms. For those today who sit in their homes, who have no Christ to turn to, and their Father, they're there in the midst of a crisis and they feel there's no hope. And in days when many in great despair take their own lives, how we pray that we as Christians would be sensitive to their needs,
and that even those people would reach out to others who can help them. Oh God, our Father, bless all today facing such a crisis. May you graciously and lovingly and compassionately minister to them. So bless your word to us, we pray, for Christ our Savior's sake.